going to be interrupting that history for the next few hours with Bathrop Spears Broadside Civil Rights for the Homeless. A little bit late today because of daylight savings time, but definitely stay with us and stay with Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 for that kind of programming that talks about the history of freedom and hopefully the future of freedom. That's what this show is about. Stay tuned for the April 7th Bathrop Spears Broadside Show. I sit downtown when you're brown on a Friday night playing Russian roulette with you, but not with a second-hand Saturday night special. Nah, downtown plays Russian roulette with a brand new SJPD revolver. One bullet for injustice, one bullet for intolerance, and one bullet for the self-hating sellout Latino capulero that will never bust enough Mexicans, harass enough Chicanos, or beat the shit out of enough cholos to feel equal to his Caucasian counterparts. You see, downtown when you're brown, Officer Lopez is hunting down Chicanos like the Terminator, hoping in vain that one day he may be able to wake up and scrub the brown out of downtown, or at the very least, out of his own skin. Downtown! Downtown when you're brown, the muffled sound of injustice is drowned out by the boom, boom, boom of tricked out Impalas and cherried out mini trucks. As the cat calls of oppression are heard up and down Santa Clara streets, and beautiful Latinos strut by on 6 deep in midnight blue Buick Rivieras with gold smokes and silver crucifix hanging from the rim. The town when you're brown on a Friday night, all the signs say no cruising zone, but what they really mean is no fucking Mexican. Because SJPD will pull you over for being downtown and brown, and for no other reason, and you will find yourself on the corner of 27th and Santa Clara at a McDonald's parking lot, surrounded by 4 police cruisers, while 2 pigs in SWAT gear search your car illegally, and a 3rd one frisks you. And now I'm not talking about no pussy little frisk like you see in front of a club. I'm talking about a real motherfucking frisk like they do on cops, where they tell you to spread your legs, put your hands on the hood of the car, and they pat you down so good you think you're getting a hand job. And you know, if they don't find nothing on you, if they don't find nothing on you, for being brown in downtown. Someone's getting beat to a pulp by Billy Clubs in a back alley for being brown in downtown. Someone's getting shot for being brown in downtown. And everywhere, 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 blessings going down for being brown in downtown.
And that's Greedo Serpentino, Downtown, the successor to the late lamented Billy Joel. And we didn't start the fire. We may have to bring in Billy Joel for a couple of nostalgia performances in the future. But for the moment, that's what brings you into Bathrop Spears Broadsides. That's Robert Norse's show. I'm Robert Norse. And it's your show, too. We talk about civil rights in Santa Cruz specifically, and then we jump around with a focus on concerns about police misconduct and concerns about the civil rights and human rights of homeless people across the country, wherever they are challenged and wherever they're being asserted even better. So that's our topic, and you are invited to join this discussion, conversation, news-sharing session. It's your show. So give a call to 427-3772 if you're listening on the net. You're, of course, tuned to www.microradio.net/FRSC, and the phone number is 831-427-3772 here in beautiful Free Radio. And welcome. I'm scanning the studio here for possible announcements. Aha! There was a critical mass ride on Friday. If anybody has a report on that, please phone in. Let me know how the critical mass ride went. I know there was a bunch of legal and police flack and fallout from the September critical mass rally last fall, right after the 9/11 bombing. And I guess some of that was still sorting itself out about a month ago. Bicyclists get the raw end of the stick in Santa Cruz, in spite of all the hype and the progressive sheen and patina that it fluffs above the reputation of the city of Santa Cruz. And it's still a very important topic to me to see people, different groups that are disenfranchised, getting together to support each other. I think bicyclists, of course, include a lot of homeless people. Camp Paradise, his main business at one time was fixing and repairing bicycles. So let me know what's going on with that. I'll give you an update on what I saw of the student HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom movement. Actually, I guess CalPERG was doing its Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Day yesterday. On Saturday, they were sending out about 15 students split up, went out to different places, Food Not Bombs, Homeless Garden Project, other places. Becky Johnson, activist and video journalist, and I spoke there about recent doings at City Council, the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom organization downtown. That's our group that puts out what the media either ignores or suppresses. Most of the media, with the exception of such, honorable exceptions like the Green Press, Ray Newkirk, Grant Wilson, and even Paul Franklin. Only Paul would stop censoring his Peace and Justice calendar and add HUF to the calendar. We'd be all just so happy with each other, perhaps. Independent media, Santa Cruz Indie Media, santacruz.indiemedia.org is another uncensored and vital source of media in Santa Cruz. But the main media, of course, Sentinel, Mercury News, KSCO, even KZSE and KUSP don't give you the news in terms of what's really going on in town. And the, of course, the weekly so-called alternative media are not really alternatives. They're more like gossip sheets. Metro Santa Cruz, Good Times, Aptus Times, Capitola Times, Mid-County Post. There are a couple new media publications that should be coming out. There was the Live Oak Beacon, interesting publication that did some good coverage for a couple issues. I haven't seen it. Maybe I just haven't run across it coincidentally. But I'm wondering if it's still there. It's Jay Olson's publication. He used to work for the Mid-County Post. Now, then he started his own. And there's a new publication that will supposedly be coming out soon, or again. It had its initial issue in the fall, The Alarm, and that hopefully will be coming out again. It was advertising for workers at one point and was downtown surveying people at another. We interviewed some of the surveyors, surveying the surveyors, so to speak, here at Free Radio, or at least I did, for Bathrop Spears Broadsides. And we got a city council meeting coming up on Tuesday. That's, as usual, second and fourth Tuesdays of every month. Our city council, who I sometimes disparagingly call the shitty council, or the silly clownsel, or the gang of seven. The sad thing, of course, is that they don't have any public accountability on many issues that they've committed themselves on, or hinted they committed themselves on, or repeatedly hinted. And some actually have, like Fitzmaurice, who's a Green Party member. One would expect, if not Fitzmaurice, at least his Green Party Confederates would hold him accountable to the Green Party platform about not criminalizing the homeless. But of course, he's gotten worse and worse in office without any real outcry from the Green Party at all, and certainly with no public condemnation or confrontation on that. That's the Direct Action was yesterday. Today we're playing Politics, a Green Party, which has its meeting, by the way. It's Green Party Assembly and open to the public at 4 o'clock on Saturday at the Loudon Nelson Center. That's coming up on Saturday the 13th. So if you want to check out the Green Party's depths, the lower depths, you can always wander on into that Green Party. There are some Green Party members who are struggling to change that. Thomas Levitt, Linda LeMaster, Carl Wilson, among others, generally speaking, I don't see any major changes, though the Green Party's Homeless Issues Working Group, which is also open to the public, will be meeting on Monday. That's the group that tried to have me expelled, that shut down all its meetings and completely paralyzed itself because it didn't like what I wrote about it in the Street Shit Sheet, the occasional homeless newsletter I wrote. They did that last spring, and they did nothing since until Camp Paradise kind of became a popular cause for a lot of us, properly so, the survival of Camp Paradise. And then they kind of tried to do something. They actually brought a couple resolutions to the Green Party Assembly, and to the Green Party Assembly's credit, that's, again, that meets every month. That's the group you can go to on next Saturday, 4 o'clock, Loudon Nelson Center, if you're interested. Did pass a couple of resolutions supporting Camp Paradise and even opposing the sleeping bans and laws against the homeless. But again, these are sort of pro forma recommendations if they are also supporting Green Party-endorsed people in office who are doing exactly the opposite. If their people in positions of power are really cracking down on the homeless, then all the verbiage from the Green Party itself means absolutely nothing if it doesn't call to account its own party members in power. I mean, that's pretty obvious. And when we mention it, they don't like it, and they try to have us kicked out of their meetings, their homeless issues working groups, their party itself, and it... you could talk to Joe Rigney about that. He was the fellow who led the charge. Other people that were longtime allies, like Nick Whitehead, were collusive in doing that as well. And I name these names not to factionalize people, but to, you know, encourage people to remember that's not the right way to proceed. Nick's a great guy. He's done some good work. He's a fine worker at community television. He's a good playwright. He also works for SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now. And I hope that this next meeting of the Homeless Issues Working Group will actually work on homeless issues instead of working over homeless activists. That's my hope. And again, that'll be, if you want more information on that, we may be getting a call-in on the exact time of that meeting. I think it's in the afternoon on Monday, tomorrow, at, I think it's at Carl Wilson's house. And he's a fellow who used to be, he is a strong supporter of Camp Paradise, and a man who has been fighting the camping ban and the sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance and fighting for civil rights for homeless people for quite a while, and also giving a lot of house space to folks from Camp Paradise as they in turn help him. Camp Paradise people, of course, exchange work, do jobs, and are once more set up out on, is it called Mount Calvary? It's a church out on the outskirts of town. I'm actually going to try to reach Camp Paradise by phone. They may not still be asleep, thinking it's 9:25 instead of 10:25, which it is. Set your clocks properly, folks. It is daylight savings time now. But let's see if we can get a Camp Paradise update here early in the show, and take it from there, and we'll continue with a sort of the quick overview. I'm giving him a ring, even as we speak. We can hear the phone ringing for all of you. You can hear that ringing there on the phone as we ring-a-ding-a-ding here. Yeah, I think they're still asleep over there. But they usually have Sunday services, so there may be... I'll leave a message for him here. Assuming their message machine is on and working.
Hello, this is Larry Templeton, Santa Cruz Service Corps. Since we can't answer the phone right now, please call back or leave a message. Thank you.
Hey there, Larry Templeton in Santa Cruz Service Corps. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz calling you on Sunday. We want you to get on the air and let us know what's cooking. Are the Parks and Rec going to grant your application to get into De La Vega Park? Are you planning to come to the Homeless Summit? Have homeless people turned out to assist you, and to, well, not to assist you, but to get your assistance in forming groups which show, you can use your nonprofit cover to support in going into the park to do conservation projects. Let's hear what's happening. Get to give us your view. Phone call number here is, phone in line is 427-3772. Larry, give us a call, Ken. Thanks. And Larry may give us a call. Half the time he does, half the time he doesn't. I get a little cranky with Larry because he commits himself to do things that he doesn't do, and that kind of ticks me off. But Larry is a busy man, and if you're homeless, you have more responsibilities, I should say less resources, and sometimes, you know, you can overcommit yourself. So that's certainly a consideration in those circumstances. Hey. You out there, however, most of you are listening, are not homeless. You don't have that excuse, so it's time for you not only to hit the lines and get in touch with us if you have something you want to say here at Free Radio, us being me in this case, I'm alone in the studio, but also to contact Santa Cruz's very own city council and tell them to get off the dime. April 15th is when the homeless winter armory shelter closes down, which will leave Santa Cruz's emergency shelter program with a grand total of less than, I guess it's 39 floor spaces, a space for 39 human beings on the floor out of a total population of 1,000 to 2,000 homeless people, all of the rest of whom face potential $54 tickets, beatings, injuries, the indignities of searches, the whole criminalization routine that the police put homeless people through. What I'm not so much suggesting is a huge shelter for 1,000 to 2,000 people. Shelters aren't so hot anyway, although they should be available to people who need them and who want them. Housing, of course, and jobs are what we need, but in the meantime, we need not to be arrested and harassed, and we need people to have opportunities to form their own campgrounds and their own encampments as they have in other cities, such as Portland, Oregon's Dignity Village, such as Isla Vista's Camp Home Sweet Home, such as Seattle's Tent City 3, such as Toronto's Camp Goodwill, although I haven't heard too much from them lately. And all these camps are hopefully going to be showing up at the Right to Sleep Summit, which is coming up May 3rd and 4th here in Santa Cruz at the house of the notorious Thomas Levitt. Thomas is a former member of the Homeless Issues Task Force, led by the well-spoken and perhaps a little too mellow Linda LeMaster on occasion, though I call her Lighthouse Linda. She's done all kinds of good things for homeless folks. She's been homeless herself. She knows probably more about the issue than virtually anybody in town. And I'm trying to get her to talk on the show, so maybe that'll coax her onto the air. I also have some differences of opinion with her, which makes for interesting listening, sometimes for uncomfortable listening, depends on the circumstances. And she's part of the Homeless Issues Working Group of the Green Party I mentioned before. That's going to be meeting tomorrow in order for the first time in many, many, many months. And hopefully they're kind of rolling back into gear to try to move the great behemoth of the Green Party inner core, of whom former mayor, council member, decorum master Tim Fitzmaurice is a member. He has, in fact, led the meetings on different occasions. He has vetoed homeless resolutions. He has, of course, had homeless activists like myself arrested for simply making silent gestures at city council in opposition. You know, you should be able to boo and hiss and speak out against city council actions, provided you don't do so over such a prolonged period that it actually disrupts the meeting. But that kind of democracy apparently is foreign to Councilmember Fitzmaurice, who wants to make sure that we all behave like we're at his own home, following his own decorum rules. Hopefully the federal court will teach him some manners. That's going to be coming up, unfortunately, a number of months down the road, but we are preparing the suit has been filed already. It was filed on March 26th against the city council for its arrest of me on March 12th, when I was arrested for giving a Heil Krone, not saying Heil Krone, but just standing up silently. Actually, I was standing when I gave it. I just raised my arm after he had silenced a member of the public at the mic who hadn't even had a chance to speak, in violating his own oral communication rules and commitments. And I think that the courts will find that not only is that permitted speech, but it is not permitted for the city council to engage in these kinds of draconian intimidations that really strike fear into the hearts, not just of the activists who are, you know, we spend our time fighting those fears and trying to proceed anyway, but the folks who might become activists, or the folks who might even just go up to the mic and give their opinions, or might even go to the council to observe, because they realize that, well, first of all, it's futile to try to do that, because the council only listens to its coterie of favorites, and or if you got lots and lots of people, they'll start listening to you, and also because the council will strike you down if you raise issues persistently or support those who do, and has done that. And we're going to show that pattern and practice of harassment over the next over the last few years, as has happened, and we're doing that in federal court probably in the next month. We're going to be filing that second set of papers. If you want to read the first federal lawsuit, you can go to www.santacruz.indymedia.org. You can also, and there you'll find the lawsuit, the federal lawsuit, CO201479, Norris versus City of Santa Cruz. That's me. Complaint for damages and injunctive relief, violation of civil rights, Title 42 UCSC 1983, jury trial demanded. And you can read the actual text of that. It's been filed. Now what we're going to do is file additional papers that document a pattern of harassment at City Council, not just against me as an individual, but against other homeless activists and other activists in other areas, which brings me to the point that we're really interested, I am anyway, and I think others are too, in getting the council to change its procedures so that we might get the glimmerings of some future democracy here in Santa Cruz. I don't say restore democracy, we've never had it, but we need to get it, particularly in these warlike times, in these times when the city is essentially becoming a tool of the university, sort of an overflow ward for the university's housing. It's becoming a knick-knack center downtown for the businesses that want to cater to the tourist riffraff. It's becoming a sort of it's a place, long been a place where homeless people have been treated like trash, and of course where the somewhat hopeful signs of the 60s and 70s, as seen by the former Pacific Garden Mall, have been destroyed by the redevelopment agency, Mayor, now Supervisor Wormhout, and her ramrod straight cement mall, which is getting increasingly privatized as you look at the fences going up, if you look at the purple-garbed hostility squad that's wandering up and down, telling people not to sit down, not to play music, not to linger here or there, not to go in under the eaves when it's raining, not to be 50 feet from an ATM on the ground, seated anywhere, not to be in the sacred Sushi Now Alibaba confines that have been stolen from the public, the space in front of the New Leaf Market. So I'd like to see democracy return to City Council. Establish the City Council. I mean, I'm sympathetic to the kind of town meeting notions that Scott Graham, a longtime council activist, talks about happening up in Maine and Vermont, where you have direct democracy, I'm told. Haven't done a lot of research into that. Got to do more research. I'm sort of taking his word for it. That sounds like a great idea, where everybody gets a vote on all issues if they choose to come to these meetings. And I think that's great. I think Crone, Fitzmaurice, Sugar, Porter, Riley, Premack, and Kennedy have shown what they are. They're not responsive to the will of the public. They're not responsive even to the commitments they themselves have made. They're not responsive to supposedly what their own principles are. And I suppose that's a pretty broad, generic statement to make. But I've seen it happen in so many instances. I suppose there are places where they are responsive to the public, and there are instances where they are responsive to their own principles. But certainly not around community control of police, not around homeless civil rights, not around the destruction of affordable housing at Beach Flats and the overcommitment of all the affordable housing money for the next decade and beyond to the Dolphin Lee dimwit demolition project that is, you know, rolling ahead, or maybe it's not, because now they found that they're not getting the tax credits they want. I haven't gotten the latest update on that, but they've driven away, what, one half to two thirds of that Latino community, while Fitzmaurice babbles on that he's going to be saving it through that these kinds of motions. Part of it is, you know, his inexperience, his naivete, his egotism, And we all have egotism, I don't deny, you know, egotism myself. But you have to listen and dialogue and talk to folks of different points of view and consider the opposition facts. And that's something the council never did on that project. Anyway, the council is having a meeting on Tuesday. I'm going to be talking about that meeting. That's one of their regular city council meetings. It's really a key time at the city council for me, and I think for the community, because they are now under the shadow of this federal lawsuit. It's a dark shadow, it's a deep shadow, it's a shadow completely ignored by the mainstream media. The Sentinel has not written a word about the lawsuit. They wrote about Nazi Norse and his, Sieg Heiling, the mayor, and his evil disrupting of the council and all this, which, of course, is not anywhere near the truth. When you give a silent gesture to the city council like a fascist salute, you are saying, your guys are acting like fascists. I'm not going to, you know, disrupt your council, but that's what this means, and that's what it means to the public. And they probably should have their meetings disrupted if they're acting like fascists. I mean, that would be the natural thing to do, and it has been done in many, many jurisdictions of this country and other countries when that kind of thing happens. But I haven't done that for all kinds of both tactical, strategic, and to some extent principled reasons, too. And I generally, you know, you want to, the reason you disrupt the democratic process, when you disrupt it, is to restore it. Unless, of course, you are a fascist and you want to take it over and do a strongman number, and that has not been my interest. We have a bunch of strong men in power already, actually they're kind of weak-kneed and weak spine, but they exercise a lot of power, and that's what the shadow is that's flying over all of us. Now, hopefully, we have a counter-shadow from the federal court, which, again, has this lawsuit sitting in it, and the actual settlement stuff and the jury trials probably won't be happening for months and months and months. But we are going to be getting declarations and depositions, and if you have ever been harassed by the city council or witnessed harassment in terms of people being shut up, if you've seen things that you think are wrong, if you've experienced things, we want to hear from you. We want you to call up. I do anyway, and I think we do. There's a number of us concerned on this issue. The number to call is 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And that's the organization that is pursuing this, as well as getting into the upcoming summit, which we're going to be talking about, too, on May 3rd and 4th, which everyone's invited, particularly those who want to press for a movement to restore civil rights for homeless people and human rights for homeless people in Santa Cruz. I say start with a sleeping ban. That's the most obvious, the most well-known abuse in Santa Cruz. How can you have a sleeping ban? I mean, come on, you can't ban sleeping. Give me a break. But that's what the Santa Cruz City Council does. And that's what almost all the organizations that have supported the current city council, including SCAN, have opposed. But this council won't even put that issue on its agenda. And so every night we get homeless people criminalized, and every year we have homeless deaths that have to be, to some extent, a function of people not being allowed to sleep in well-regulated, self-guided groups, to camp legally so they can actually support and defend each other, so that they have more chance of getting back into the economy if that's where they want to go, or getting into the alternative economy if that's where they want to go. We don't have that in Santa Cruz because we have a city council that has abandoned any pretense of democracy. Actually, no, it maintains the pretense. But the reality gets worse and worse. So if you had bad experiences, give a call to 423-HUFF. And as I said, it's important to come to council meetings now and to kind of plan this stuff, because council is on notice that it is being watched. And it is now getting official scrutiny from the federal court, not in terms of any kind of official scrutinizing it, but in terms of it's going into court. Each of the city council members is required to appear in federal court. So is Sergeant Butchie Baker, to answer the charge that it had a member of the public, me, dragged off, falsely arrested, falsely imprisoned, and subject to a series of other violations, which essentially are incident to that false arrest, for simply raising up his hand in a gesture of dissent. And you may say, well, why don't you choose a more photogenic and polite way of dissenting? Didn't Mayor Fitzmaurice tell you when he was mayor that he would not allow and not tolerate Nazi salutes in the city council meeting to preserve the decorum and respect the sympathies, let's say, of former Holocaust victims or Holocaust victims or relatives of Holocaust victims? And my response is, Mayor Fitzmaurice says a lot of things. He has a lot of opinions. He has a lot of sensitivities and sensibilities. He is entitled to them. That is his right. It is not his right to impose those on the community and the public discourse. And it is certainly not his right to restrict and deny the liberty of other people in this community to express their opinions in a fashion that does not disrupt the city council. That's the standard, not Mayor Fitzmaurice's sensitivities, or even Councilmember Fitzmaurice's sensitivities, or Shadow Mayor Fitzmaurice, I should say, because he's the man who seems to be directing Mayor Crone, sitting on his right hand and giving him the word as to what to do. Now, I'm going to invite Mayor Crone to call into the show, just as I've invited him to talk about the so-called decorum concerns that a lot of us have, in that the decorum rule, Fitzmaurice's decorum rules, are being used to harass and exclude council members. They're being used to harass and exclude citizens. The council members are allowing this to happen. And Crone is not just allowing it to happen, he's facilitating it. He's the mayor. He doesn't have to, bend over every time Fitzmaurice snaps his fingers. He has the right to say, well, I disagree with you, Councilmember Fitzmaurice, or if you'd like to make a resolution, Councilmember Fitzmaurice, we can all vote on that and talk about it. But instead, he doesn't even say anything. Fitzmaurice says, Mr. Norris made a Nazi salute, and I'm ordered out of the chambers. And I say, no. The Brown Act, Public Records Act, the Public Meetings Act, allows me to be in these chambers, and I'm going to stay. And I do, and then I get arrested. And why we need to be at the future meetings if we want to use the council as any kind of potential democratic force, and that's, of course, problematic, but we've begun that process, and it's probably good to continue it, certainly to some extent, is that the council almost surely is going to do this again. They are going to, and I don't think Fitzmaurice has decided he's going to pull in his horns on this matter. I mean, I could be wrong, but I haven't received any phone calls from Crone saying, let's talk about this. What kind of decorum concerns do you have? We did talk about it once. I went through a long letter and list of concerns, which I've read on the air, ranging from not interrupting speakers at oral communication to expanding oral communication time, or at least not contracting it, as Crone has repeatedly done, giving us 2 minutes instead of 3 minutes on items not on the agenda. And since we don't get on the agenda ever, that's the only time we have. So he isn't interested. And he isn't interested because, frankly, he's gutless on this issue. He doesn't want to stand up for this issue. He will lead a parade if it's marching down the street, but he's not going to stick his neck out. Now, you might say, well, aren't all politicians like that? And the answer is no. But perhaps most politicians are like that. And I guess, you know, the proper thing to do here is, and I have done this to him, and I have to call him out, because he's making all these bad decisions and intimidating people at city council, or allowing himself to be used as a cat's paw by Fitzmaurice and Kennedy, who's also involved in this process. But he should be called and told, look, Chris, you don't have to behave like somebody's errand boy. You don't have to behave like somebody's doxy. You don't have to do what they tell you to do. You know, you were elected on a platform of greater public accessibility to city council back in 1998. And that really is the wish, not just of strong organizations, or don't seem to be so strong or articulate these days, but they seemed strong at the time of the election, like SCAN, WILP, Green Party, Peace and Freedom Party, other groups that supported the overwhelming election of Fitzmaurice, Crone, and Sugar back in 1998, and threw out the Kennedy, Rodkin candidates, Steino, Corhuraro, and Walden. You can be your own person. You can at least be the person that you claimed that you were coming into office to be. You know, you can demand that the Seaside Company give up the tidelands and take it to court, or at least talk about doing it, or else make resolutions. You don't get a second? You tried, and you'll keep trying, and you raise the issue, and people will stand up with you. But no, it all becomes a question of how many votes can I get in the backroom collaboration, and if I can't get the votes, I'm not going to do nothing. Wrong. Wrong. That's not how you lead. That's not how you lead. And all the scorning and shaming stuff that I do, and I've been criticized for doing it as being counterproductive, you got to do it. I mean, you also got to do the supporting and say, look, Chris, if you want to change what you're doing, hey, you got the support's out there for you.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. I had a comment and suggestion.
Uh-huh.
Comment being, if I was a crone, I'd be highly pissed at that Fitzmaurice for getting me involved in that shit. You know, allowing myself to get suckered into that bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would. I mean, you would think so, but you see, remember that he works with Fitzmaurice every day, and so it's like the Citizens Police Review Board gets all cozy with the police department because they work with them. You know, because they have to have good relations with them. So they tend to become more identified with each other than with the interests of the public, and that's of course one of the problems.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that a few times. I mean, I would be so fucking pissed at Fitzmaurice. I'd actually be angry at myself for letting myself stoop so low. But, I had a thought the other day. Why do they call it camping tickets? Why don't they just call it anti-surviving tickets?
Right, well, because...
You will not survive. Mein Führer says so.
Right. Well, they will say that you have options, as Judge Commissioner Joseph said to the Camp Paradise Four when he said it's not a necessity to camp in a Camp Paradise. You can always, the armory has some empty spaces. You can always go up to the armory. It's not all at that time, of course. There was no armory open for Camp Paradise, but let's say tonight, until April 15th, you will be able to go up to the armory. It's not always filled up. So there's a good place for you to go, and if we give you a ticket, we only do it on complaint. It's only if you're causing a problem. It's only if some citizen demands we do it. And gosh, every city has this. Here in Santa Cruz, I'm giving you all the arguments on the devil's side. Here in Santa Cruz, we don't drive people away like they do in Carmel or beat them up like they do in some big cities. We have a very specific set of rules which says you cannot do this and you cannot do that. And I think that we are really much more compassionate to our homeless population than the other jurisdictions. And
a kinder, gentler, softer nation.
Kindler, gentler, softer, a kinder, softer mentality here. That's the Kennedy, Rotkin, and now I would suspect it's what, I haven't heard actually Crone, Sugar, Fitzmaurice say that, but of course they aren't doing anything to change that policy. That's the problem,
These are my words, they're not yours, but I've come to realize that, in stinkhole America, there's not a piece of the pie for everybody. It just goes against numbers, there's not enough room for everyone. And it boggles my mind as to supposedly intelligent people that are city council members. It seems like they'd know this. I got to get off the horn, Robert.
Okay, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
And that's my cue to stop babbling here, because although I'm very interesting to listen to, I can tell you, I can vouch for that myself. Some would prefer to hear a couple of other folks talking. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to kind of go back a bit and play some more of the interview I had with David Bush down in Santa Monica. Bush is an activist down there who you can read about in the current issue of Street Spirit, if you can ever see it on the streets. I don't know if anybody actually is vending it yet. And I believe it's going to be shortly, if not already, available at the Homeless Services Center down at Coral Street and at the Page Smith Community House. You can pick it up there. Might be able to get a few copies out to Camp Paradise. Perhaps Camp Paradise could give us a call. What a concept. Don't let me sound too cranky. I keep hoping that... I got to remember that Camp Paradise is not a set of civil rights fighting activists. They're people who just want to be able to survive and who are like many ordinary folks happen to be homeless. And so I sometimes, my expectations are too high for folks out there at Camp Paradise because they got to live. But I would like to see some solidarity with the broader homeless community, because they have gotten their share of perks from the city council to some extent. Now, they haven't gotten their share. They have gotten far less than their share. But compared to the rest of the homeless community, they've gotten more perks. And that makes them appear to be privileged. And that's why I think it's really important for them to form be in, you know, clear solidarity with the rest of the homeless community. And indeed, Larry Templeton has said on the air, he's the founder of Camp Paradise and the maximum leader, commandant, if you will, that he would invite and has invited homeless people to come to the Santa Cruz Service Corps, which you can reach, by the way, by calling 423-8636. 423-8636. Yeah, that's it. And if I got that number wrong, please call me, somebody, and let me know. I think that's correct. If you want to be a part of this novel camp, 2 weeks in a park while you're doing conservation work, then get bounced to another park if you can get another permit from Czar Lang, if you can meet 8 onerous conditions, such as insurance, $1 million worth of insurance, and all kinds of cleanup fees, and all kinds of other requirements. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert.
Hey.
Bernard.
Not a long time no hear, Bernard.
Right, you know, very busy these days,
mm-hmm.
but I'm trying to follow it the best I can, you know, through your emails. And
glad to hear you.
Radio.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess I wanted to start some discussions with you. Is this a good time?
Sure.
All right. The question, you know, of Crone, I get a sense when I hear you, you know, that in some way you still have some hope. Is this true?
Well, I have hope that under pressure, City Council will do things that it might not otherwise do, that if a large enough constituency begins to raise its voice, Crone will jump in front of the parade. That really is the extent of my hope for Crone. I mean, I have hope for everybody as individuals. I mean, Crone actually returns his phone calls 2/3 of the time, and I actually got a disc here where Crone is interviewed on Free Radio under the on Skidmark Bob show. I finally got a copy of that. Thank you, Vinny, for getting that for me. And I'm going to try to scrutinize it and maybe respond to it in the future. But Crone has never had the courage to come on any kind of lengthy show concerning city council business. He was on the air once with me after he went up to Seattle and essentially ducked a number of questions and answered a few. I don't know. I get the feeling he's increasingly entrenched I have less hope rather than more hope. But, you know, one never knows about people.
Okay. I want to thank you very much for that suit. I think it's really, very empowering, you know, to a lot of activists, including me.
Oh, I learned from your work in the Coffee Klatch 3, Bernard. You were one of those three devils who actually did your regular lobbying in the offices and so enraged Mayor Fitzmaurice that he took you all to court and barred you from the city council, city hall area for 5 months.
Well.
And you won. You won in court.
I know. You know, and he has a hard time looking in my eyes.
And you won using the same attorneys that are now filing this lawsuit against Crone and the entire city council and Sergeant Baker. So, you know, and this one is not a court suit in a suit in the rigged local courts where we had to wait 5.5 months to get that ruling. And, of course, it wasn't just you. It was me and Becky Johnson and you that won that ruling that said that we did have the right to be in the city council offices. And that we do, you know, we were not harassing Anna Brooks, the secretary, who is now back at work. And, I've actually commended Anna Brooks for giving food to Food Not Bombs, as she did one day.
You're taking me off my subject.
Sorry about that.
You know, I don't want to deal with Anna Brooks.
Go ahead.
I would really like, I think that would be really helpful. I'd like to urge you, you know, to run for city council. Not in any way that you can win. That's not the issue. but I think we would be able to reach, you know, a lot broader people, you know, talking about all these things. And also, you know, it would be, you'd be able to have a forum, you know, to really confront these guys, you know. Not a forum if we would really like it, but, you know, it would be a half-assed forum, you know, all those public forums that they have.
Mm-hmm.
I really would like you to at least think about that, and I would certainly be one of your major backers.
Right. Well, I'm flattered. I actually heard the same proposition from Bob LaMonica, who actually volunteered to donate some money to this campaign if it were done. And what I told him was, but kind of a combination of what I told him and my thoughts generally are that the problem with someone like me running for city council is that the media and the council members will focus on the individual rather than the issues, and it will become, you know, Norse instead of the issues, and I don't think that that's a good idea. So that the only way that could really be effectively countered that I can see is if you have a large organization of people who are pressing certain issues, clear issues, and that's the reason for the campaign. And I, you know, that would require a working organization that is, I would like to see, I've talked about this about a year ago, a kind of an alternate city council set up where people, you know, where the public is invited to go and present and discuss their issues in hope and expectation of a future city council will actually do something about them. We'd also need to have alternate staff, because the problem is that do you ever get elected to city council, and that would never happen as far as I can see with respect to me, you have to rely on the staff if you don't have your own staff, and that's